Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the Odyssey app. You can also watch us right now on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Forgot to give away the Wizards tickets, so we'll do it now. Caller 10, you'll get two tickets to the Wizards. They take on the Bulls tonight. Fan Appreciation Night presented by Michelob Ultra. Fans take home a free City Edition themed t-shirt. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events. That's courtesy of the Washington Wizards, 800-636-1067. But we're joined in studio by Dennis Scott, his son Trey, who's going to Georgia State, going to be playing in the Capitol Classic. What, do you have memories of the Capitol Classic, Dennis?
Yes.
It a big deal for you at the time?
Yes.
Yeah, huge, yeah.
So you remember back then, you only could play in two games. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't no Brand Jordan game, wasn't no right. Allen Iverson game. So all these games now you have different.
They proliferated.
You
know,
It's watered down some, mm-hmm. but I understand they want to open it up. But you either want to play in the McDonald's All-American game or the Capitol Classic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we sure. all know if you're a real hoop head, this game has been around the longest. And you look forward to it. So I was explaining to Trey, we were flying up here, is that when you, if you grew up in the DMV, every weekend you open the Washington Post to see what the all-met team looked like. Mm-hmm. Yep. Who was honorable mention? 100%. Who what team was top five? And then USA Today came, then you wanted to be in that column as the best team in the country.
Yeah.
But if you wasn't all-met and you weren't in Washington Post, there's no damn way you was going to be in the USA Today.
I'm guessing Trey,
and that's where it all started.
Trey doesn't know Street and Smith.
How no.
big that Street was. Like,
come
when
on.
I was like 19, sprint is a stretch. I would go to CBS. There's Peoples back in the day, and I would pick up my Street and Smith and see who like the top 25 or 50 recruits were, where mm-hmm. they're going, where they're headed. Like mm-hmm. it was a huge deal.
It's a different
well, I remember,
world now.
It is a different world. So we went to high school, and Jason played at DeMath, obviously, and he played with Mustaf, mm-hmm. Who was eventually the first round pick of the Knicks.
Ted yep. Jeffries,
and yeah, you know, we had a great team, mm-hmm. but Mustaf in particular, I'll never forget. And it was my first exposure to big, you know, these big 6'10" guys, mm-hmm, yeah. unbelievable. And he's just sitting there in religion class as a freshman. I'm sitting right behind him. And he's just looking at the USA Today sports section every day. Mm-hmm. And they would have their little mm-hmm. updates. And he would get his little mentions. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you did the same thing.
Yeah, it was the kids now. And once again, I like calling Trey out in person. When our kids wake up today, what is the first thing they do?
Look at their phone.
They go straight to their phones.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I get it. But what I try to remind the kids today is, who are you following? Oh, I'm following this kid. I'm following that kid. Why? Mm-hmm. Why are you following him? And until you can explain why you're following, oh, yeah, he's pretty good. He's cool. He dunks on somebody. Mm-hmm. Or he's got creativity or his personality. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
That's what you need to do when people start following you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. why do you follow Michael Jordan? Like, he didn't very ever post, but people follow him. Mm-hmm. But he never posts.
Right.
Why are you following him? Right? So right. it's like, this generation, you can create your own.
Yeah.
And that's why people follow people.
Trey,
interested in what they do.
How much do you, I don't know, go on YouTube or whatever and just watch your dad from back in the day?
I do it quite often because when I was younger, I didn't quite understand how good he really was. And then as I became and fell in love with basketball, I just wanted to see how good he really was because mm-hmm. I was like, nah, there's no way he was that good.
But you probably met some cool people Shaq. Like, you've met all the, as we would say on the show, all the sillies. Like, I'm sure
all
he has.
All the silly players. Yeah,
I have. I've met Shaq, Charles Barkley, all them guys. Yeah,
let me ask you a question, Shaq. Excuse me, Trey. When was the first time you became famous?
I was like nine or ten.
You was eight. You were eight.
Yeah, and I was on TNT and I punched Shaq in the face and it just went viral.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I gotta YouTube that.
Yeah, so
I gotta check that.
It's hilarious.
Out.
So yeah, I'm in the studio, we're just having some fun and Shaq calls him up and said, "Come here, Trey, are you strong? Let me see that left hook." And Trey hit him and boom, and you know, in TNT we kind of made his face shake a little bit more and he had the black eye on.
Right.
And it went viral. Who is that kid hitting Shaq? That kid needs to be spanked, and like, they're just going crazy on social media. So he's young. He's like, why is everybody mad at me? That's my Uncle Shaq.
Right, that's funny.
And then now he announces in February he's going to Georgia State, and that video comes back up. It's like, see, you were famous at 8 years old before you made a jump shot.
Right.
Nice. Awesome. So during the break, I asked you about Anthony Edwards because you had tweeted something out talking about social media with Anthony Edwards.
Yep.
But the reason I brought it up was you mentioned bank shot. Mm-hmm. Before mm-hmm. and Anthony Edwards right now he says he kind of wants to bring back the bank shot. I've seen him shoot like a lefty bank shot. I mean,
3-point bank shot.
He has the athleticism of Michael Jordan. He's coming on. They lost a tough game the other night against Denver because maybe they're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Carl Anthony Towns not playing as well, so they're one of the top teams. What do you make? EB was asking about the state of the NBA. I'm an NBA fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Western Conference playoffs are gonna be fantastic. I probably would take Denver against the field, but Dallas is playing amazing ball right now. I wouldn't sleep on Phoenix if they can get through. The Lakers, if they can get their stuff together. There are a lot of good teams in the West.
A lot of good teams. So let me start off with Trey was a baseball player first.
Mm.
So in seventh, eighth grade, Trey had maybe a 65 to 75 mile fastball.
Mm.
So it's East Cobb Baseball in Atlanta, if you're following the baseball listener. They were calling my wife, hey, bring him out. He's 6'6". He's got a cannon. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he woke up and said, Dad, I want to play basketball.
Mm.
So for all you baseball fans, I'm sorry. I was like, yes. I don't know a damn thing about baseball.
You never played volleyball? Did you have the hype for volleyball? Nope. You'd be a beast in volleyball.
He was a swimmer and baseball player.
Oh, he'd be a beast in the pool.
Right. So all that stuff. Fair. That's yes. Yes. So all that was good. Then he woke up and said, I want to play basketball. I said, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I said, because I don't take this lightly.
Mm-hmm.
This is all I know. This is all I've been doing.
Business.
This is all I know. I've never had a real job ever.
Right.
And I don't want one either.
Right.
Okay. So I explained to him, this is what I do. He says, I want to do it. So when we started this AAU program, and everyone knows my brand, Shooters Paradise. We watch NBA TV and TNT. I say leave it all the time. So that's my brand. Independent. Because I want to be hands-on. I want to teach the kids the game the right way. I don't want just 1-2 passes, just crazy basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Then I meet Daryl Darby, who's from here in D.C., went to Potomac High School, and we just chopped it up, and he used to coach Anthony Edwards when he was a kid in AAU. So now my program's starting. Anthony Edwards signs this big deal with Adidas, 3SSB. He said, hey, let's merge. I said, I don't really want to merge because some of our kids are not ready for the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And all these parents think the circuit is great. It is. But your kid can get exposed. Duh.
Right.
So it's exposure. Mm-hmm. But if your kid's not that good, it's going to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
So one of the parents, I said, let's do it. So we do it. The kid's not playing well. The kid's only getting maybe 5 or 8 minutes a night. He's only getting 4 or 5 shots. He's getting his head down. Because guess what? He's not ready for the circuit. Send him back down to the independent team. Let him play. Let him play 25 minutes. Let him get his confidence. The kid starts getting a few offers.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to be on the circuit to walk around your city to say, oh, I'm on the circus team,
right.
but your son doesn't play. It's about playing. I don't know if your son can play if he's shaking a pom-pom on the bench saying he's on the circuit, walking around with a 3SSB on his shirt or Peach Jam on his shirt. It's about playing to see if your kid
can play.
That's
the only way you get better.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how the Anthony Edwards thing comes along. And then I start working with him. What was the biggest thing they knocked on him coming out of Georgia? He can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
He can shoot now, can't
he? Oh, yeah, he can.
Because he's been working out with Shooters Paradise, baby. That's what we do.
So talk about the Cap Classic just in general for this year? What kind of rosters are we looking at? I saw there's some Georgetown guys or commits, and there's a Maryland commit, I believe, too.
Yep.
So just talk about. So I don't know if Trey wants to.
No, that's a great question. So Trey, let their listeners know what you learned yesterday seeing some of these names you played against AAU or what have you.
Mm-hmm. I learned that a lot of these guys, a lot of people wouldn't like think that they would act the way they act, and it's just been really fun being with them. And for example, in practice yesterday, I thought everyone was going to go through the motions because everyone's ranked, everyone's already committed, it's an all-star game. But my dad let everyone know early, and we let everyone know early that we're coming to compete. We're not here just to walk through the motions and just get shots up. So we're coming to compete and have fun for sure.
That's a big issue. Like my kid played lacrosse, and once kids get committed, a lot of times they just kind of shut it down. You know what I mean? Yeah. They chill. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Is that something that happens sometimes
For sure. I have some friends, and they're like, yeah, I committed now. Season's almost over. I should see where the rest of the season goes. And for me, it was the other way around. Like, after I committed, I was like, now I have a school that I'm potentially going to be, like, playing for and a name I'm going to be playing for. So I was playing harder, and we end up winning the state championship, and I'm making my school look good. So that was my mindset after.
Right. Especially with early recruiting, you're lucky you didn't have to deal with that. Like, you know, you're getting calls and stuff, but like kids that are committing in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And then they start chilling. They're back in the day, they were losing offers because they thought they were straight.
Well, when you get an offer at a young age, you basically get that bullseye on your back.
For sure.
We're going on a state run. Oh, we're playing against Mount Vernon. Oh, they got Dennis Scott's son committed to Georgia State. Oh, they got this kid, Xavier Shigok. He's going to West Georgia. So now you're playing against commits. You're not playing against the team anymore.
That's
so that's extra, right?
Yeah.
So that, for this generation, that motivates you.
Yeah.
So I used to tell him, guess what? They're coming after you because they want to see, are you as good that people are saying you are? And once you prove it, what do they say at the game? Hey, good game, man. Good luck. Good game. Oh, you're – no. Tell the listeners what you were here these last 2 years. Oh, you're overrated. You're this. And then after the game, what would happen?
Yeah, AAU in game or high school, they'd be like, I'm overrated. They'd even say
so they're screaming this from the stands.
Probably because your coach is –
kids I'm playing
Dennis
against.
Scott's
oh, kids.
Kid.
Yeah. Kids I'm playing against. They'd be like, you're not as good as your dad.
Oh.
Or some kids would even say my dad wasn't good. I'm like, how does that even translate to what we're doing right now? Like, we're literally playing right now.
You're catching shrapnel.
You see what I'm saying? So he's telling me this stuff, and I'm just laughing. So you mean a mom or a dad or a coach told you to say that?
Right.
Yeah, and then
– awful people. You know what? Terrible parents.
Like, so it'll be,
right, so after the game, what were they saying?
After the game, I'll give him eight threes.
Right.
And then he'll be like, oh, good game. Follow me back on Instagram. I'm like, all right.
You are as good as your dad.
Yeah. Something different to say after that.
Exactly.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Hey, before you go, I do want to ask you a couple more NBA questions. Wemby's far beyond what I thought he was going to be.
Alien. He's an alien.
Yeah.
I mean, he's having like sham god dribbles behind the back.
Well, I know
hitting threes. Like, I didn't think his spindly frame was going to
hold up,
but he's
you were like
phenomenal.
I know before the season,
skeptic.
You were like, I think Holmgren's just as good. Like, do you still think that?
No.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
And Holmgren's good.
Holmgren's just as talented, but not as good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two different things.
But he's also on a better team, so he's not.
Stop.
He's got Shea.
Stop,
on
stop
the
for
team.
A second, though. Stop for a second. And this is why I want to educate some people. Is it Wimby's fault that the Spurs are bad?
No.
Okay, so Chet got lucky, right?
Yeah.
The way he got drafted.
Right.
So we go through this thing every year with Defensive Player of the Year, all these different awards, because we all have a different opinion what the award really looks like. Just pay attention to what and how Wimby affects the game.
Mm.
When you look at it that way, you look at him totally different, right? So why does he have five blocks a game more than like David Robinson? Well, the team's bad.
Yeah.
What do we teach? Help defense. So if I'm a bad defender and Trey's a great defender, he's going to be in help defense more. He has to block more shots. So is he more effective, less effective, right? How many 7-5 guys do we see get a rebound and push the ball coast to coast and do a sham guy and throw a don't look pass for a three in the corner? We've never seen
never
it.
Happened.
It's never happened. So as we process him, stay in the moment and just look at what we're watching. So his trainer, Tim Martin, turned me on to him maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And I was just like you. I was like, how's he going to handle the physicality of the NBA game?
Hmm.
Well, the NBA game is not physical like it used to be.
Yeah.
He's not playing against Shaq.
It's true.
He's not playing against Mirsan. He's not playing against Rick Smits. They're trying to figure out, how do I guard him? So I said, Shaq, how would you guard Wimby? He said, I would foul the heck out of him in the first play of the game to try and scare him, because there's no way I'm going to the three-point line. That's different.
Yeah.
Well, what's the translation for Zach Edey from college to the NBA? Because he can't go outside.
Right, same thing.
Hit a shot.
The right team has to understand you're using him in spurts.
Yeah.
And then you go back and watch Rudy Gobert his first 5 years. He couldn't move his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Once Rudy Gobert figured out how to move his feet, then he became an asset. Then he started getting Defensive Player of the Year awards.
Right.
Offensively, he's still not there. But defensively, he's found his niche. So Edie's the opposite. How many guys can guard him right now in the post? Embiid, maybe? As much as I love the Joker, I don't think the Joker could guard him in the post right now. But on the flip side of that, the Joker's going to take him to the three-point line,
pick and pop,
and then now they're going to beat him up. So the right team has to get him and play to his assets, not his weaknesses. So
Joker abused Rudy the other night.
That's my, see what I'm saying?
He abused Gobert the other night.
He had him running around in circles.
But some of it was down low, because he's so sad he doesn't jump.
Yes.
But he knows how to use both hands. He knows how to do up and unders. He's got everything in his bag.
So for all the young kids now, it's about the skill set. No longer are you just go in the block, pound, 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 and go to work. Embiid has showed us, I can go in the post, I can pick and pop, I can get in that mid-range post and catch, put the ball on the floor and get this little fadeaway. So now the more you can do as a big guy, showing that you have better skill set than the old big guy, you're more valuable today.
I'd also say being a high flyer helps. Anthony Edwards,
no,
it helps.
No, those guys are still there. No,
two best
there.
Players in the game right now are Jokic and Luka, and they're not high flyers.
The Joker.
You may not agree they're the best two players.
The problem we had with Luka, that he shows at time because Jason Kidd tricks him, he doesn't give the same effort on the defensive end of the floor. That's the only reason why people are hesitant with him.
What do you mean Kidd tricks him?
Kid says, hey, Luka, you know you're ranked 65th in the NBA on defense. Really? I am. And he gets a fake piece of paper and shows it to him.
Uh-huh.
So for the next four or five games, you'll see Luka trying to rotate, trying. The next four or five games, olé! It's olé!
That's
why they go out and get Gafford. They go get other bigs, Lively, to kind of, you know, help those guys out. As much as we love Kyrie and Luka, they're not stopping anybody. So that's why that back line had to get better. And that's why Maverick fans, down to our earlier conversation, I wouldn't be surprised now if the Mavericks upset some people because their bigs have gotten better.
And he already led them to a conference finals once.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He was just destroying people. And that's the –
He owns
we all
the
know
Clippers.
This. Every great player in the NBA offensively, we always say, give us the – effort on the defensive end, because we know the ball's going to be in your hands in the fourth quarter. Remember Jason Tatum's first couple years?
Yeah.
We're not saying he's a liability anymore defensively, are they?
Right.
Because him and JB, they bring it now on the defensive end, because offensively it's hard to stop them too as well.
Well, I hope we see some defense in the playoffs. I mean, I like
you will.
Some offense.
You will.
I just
you
don't want to see 143 to 138.
No, you're not going to see it in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let me just say, before we let you go, because you're from this area, and I would just love for you to shout out some local legends, like when you were in high school, or some of the guys that.
Because
you know,
we always talk about like Henry Hall.
You remember Henry Hall?
Henry Hall. Yep, the crazy crossover. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anybody? You want like who were some of the local guys that maybe didn't play at a high level, but they were ballers that had a reputation?
Well, I think the biggest name that people remind me of is, remember Anthony Tucker?
Oh, yeah.
Kenny
McKinley Tech.
Went to Georgetown, went to Wake Forest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's one of those guys where I knew that I had to get a good night's sleep if I knew I was playing McKinley Tech, if I knew I was playing Georgetown, if I was playing the Summer League.
Did he ever make the league for a little bit?
Maybe for a little bit.
Maybe, like I said, had a cup of coffee and then went overseas. Walt Williams.
Yeah. Walt.
The Wizard.
The legend here.
Love him.
Walt's
Sox,
a legend
Sox, here. Come on, man. And Walt's a great dude.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's the part that we always have to remind some of our listeners, that some of these great players were great people.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of lose sight of that.
Well, John Gwynn was a great high school player.
Oh my God, Lord Jesus.
And he was a good college player, but he was a great high school
player. Was he 6'1"? Was he 5'11"? Was he 5'8"?
5'10".
What was he?
Yeah.
I know he was a pit bull. I know that.
Yeah.
So, and Perry Carter.
Oh yeah,
with Perry those Carter, big old shoulders, like yeah, didn't Gonzaga, have, yeah. didn't make it to the league. But high school wise, mm-hmm. college wise, Perry Carter, my goodness, mm-hmm. yeah, like a tank.
Your capital team in 1987 include Eric Harris, Rodney Monroe, Tyrone Gibson, John Gwynn, Dennis Scott, Anthony Tucker, Perry Crowder, Byron Tucker, Cedric Lewis.
Oh, yeah. You know, the shot blocker. Yes. Yes.
Thomas Jordan.
Did you ever go on Morgan and against... James Brown's Fast Break show? Were you ever a guest on Fast Break?
Of course. Of all the people that follow me on Facebook, I post that every, say, 6 months, the Fast Break interview, you know, with James Brown and Morgan, uh-huh. because that's what we played for. If you had a good, if you had a good week, you knew you were going to be on Fast Break on Saturday morning, and you got up
intro?
And
went,
yes,
yep, yep,
come on.
Stuff.
That's what we looked forward to.
Yeah.
Where now we're looking forward to clicks.
Yeah. Right. Is Trey starting the Cap Classic? You're starting, are you?
Of course. Okay, right, we got to have a little nepotism. All right. Listen, we have to.
Looking forward to it. All right, so it's 2 o'clock on Saturday, correct?
Well, the main game is 2 o'clock. You got the Suburban All-Stars against the District All-Stars at 12:15. It's at the DC Entertainment Sports Arena, the game that started it all, 51st.
Let me add this, too, so we bring it back to prelim game.
Okay.
So my oldest son, Ryan Scott, who started off at Montrose Christian and finished off at South Lakes, he played in the prelim game in 05, so I got to give my son, Ryan Scott, some love, too, for all the old heads.
Very good.
Right. So nice. So the prelim game will be just all local guys.
All locals, yep. All local kids.
It's a great opportunity for them.
Yes, are because once again, I think some are still waiting, but even the prelim game, if you go back and look in the past, that game helped guys get some scholarships
for
to
sure.
help their career as well.
For sure. It's an iconic game, and Tom Doyle is, I know he's one of the big guys behind it. It's amazing. We got to get this game back to where it was.
That's why when Tom and Pete, and big shout out to Ricky Goins, that committee called me. I know Grant Hill was involved last year, right. So it's my obligation now as an alumni is to help get some of us back. Now it gets us old head, as we like to say, to come watch the game. Now the younger generation sees why it's important.
Right.
51st anniversary
awesome
of the legendary
yep.
Capital Classic. Dennis Scott, thank you for joining us. Dennis Scott III, good luck at Georgia State.
Yep,
we'll be right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, coming up at 9:45, we've been giving away prizes every hour. We'll give you a chance to win some WWE tickets. It's SmackDown versus WWE coming up Friday, August 23rd at Capital One Arena.
How does Mike Maher is a great guy. He's a great guy. Comes in there happy every day.
Yep.
But beware. Fasten your seatbelt. How does Mike Maher not know how to take an in-focus picture?
I have no idea. With a
modern iPhone.
I literally clicked down on it.
You're supposed to click on a face, right?
That's what I did.
To focus. And then, I mean, JP and I, you took six. Thank God you took six. Maybe the first one's in
automatic focus.
Well, I don't know. Is that something that you're, have other people have accused you of taking blurry photos?
No, not once. This is the first.
This is an outlier.
Yeah, this is an outlier.
How do you not know how to take an in-focus picture with an iPhone? I thought the iPhones are the world's greatest phones.
I did. I mean, I clicked down. That's why the first one's in focus, so I'm not sure why the rest of them. I didn't click down for every single photo, but for the first one I did.
Now I feel bad because Mike goes, I go, Mike, can you take photos of the guys? And he goes, I don't really want to do that. They're going to yell at me.
You know, you pass the buck.
I go, that was just a one-time thing. Right. You took too many photos whatever.
He, no. He took an out-of-focus, I mean, the six out-of-focus pictures.
I knew JP was going to be Rick.
That's not us being douches. And listen, my instincts are wrong. I put my hands on my, I said, I'm not going to put my arm around guys, because when I put my arm around guys, it makes my
I thought I boycotted pictures. What am I doing?
I know. So why I said, okay, I'll just put my hands in my pockets. Well, that makes me look like I have a huge, like a kangaroo in my pouch. I mean, it's ridiculous.
You got a little jelly in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Tom Doyle sent me a picture. Maybe you like his better, but his are from the side. Kind of.
Are they in focus?
You can be the judge.
Automatic I'm actually going to go through and try to sharpen it and salvage
automatic
it
focus.
If I can. I don't want to
wear that button out.
Can Mike handle the Jones? I don't know, because he's such a sweet kid.
Yes. He can. Yeah. Okay. Yes, of course.
I think he wants it.
Okay. All right.
It's ADs, EB.
ADs, right? So is it worth it at the end of the day?
Yeah, John trust me, I can take what he said earlier. He has Joan asbestos instead of Teflon.
Oh, okay.
To recall an earlier joke.
Well,
that interview was so
Dennis
fun.
Dennis was awesome.
Let me tell you why it was so fun.
Well, think about it. We had Weber and Dennis same week. They were both awesome.
Our era. A plus. I love it.
But
I love them.
Dennis was so fun that Jason and Eric didn't get distracted by the Masters.
Yeah. I know.
Because in the previous segment.
No, he's one over.
Because in the previous segment.
Bogey
18. See, I shouldn't have brought it back up. But in the previous segment, which I think was the entertainment page, it was anything that happened at Augusta, it would. They would, you guys would like stop mid sentence, like, oh, oh.
Well, I wasn't
like
going to do that effects. With Dennis. I mean,
I know.
Be
so I'm saying that's how engaging.
Somebody's saying, oh, it's not just mom jeans. Just getting back to the Jason Day thing. They're saying oversized outfits have been in for a while.
They're
now.
Back. My jeans are
is
back.
Is that true? Oversized?
Where have you guys been?
My baggy jeans
like, give
are
me,
back.
Give me an example.
Every person under the age of 30,
like
probably.
Who?
Every person. Just, your daughter. One. Every picture I see your daughter, she's wearing wide leg, loose fitting jeans.
Yeah, that's a girl, though.
Yeah, and so do the guys.
Like, name a guy.
Timothy Chalamet. I don't know. Any.
I mean, I'm not in love with him like you are.
He doesn't have any file on him.
I have no file on him.
He doesn't know that he was whimsical in Wonka, which I watched on your recommendation.
Oh, so.
He's predictable in which
skinny,
way?
When skinny jeans came out, he joned on them and said that nobody. When joggers came out, he joned on them.
Me.
Now,
yes.
And now when wide leg pants come out, you joan on them.
I mean, I used
eventually
to have
you'll
them back
come, you'll
in the
come
day.
Around just when they're not getting unpopular.
I mean, listen.
I didn't think that Jason Day's pants looked as bad as he made it seem.
They're
like,
making him look enormous.
I clicked on the story.
They are pretty big.
I clicked on the story and it said that people were saying that he's going to set sail. Blah blah blah.
They didn't jump.
I guess I expected them to be
like
twice
MC
as
Hammer
big.
Pants. Yeah.
They didn't look that bad.
They were pretty billowy. No.
And also the designs are also ugly.
Well, the sweater he's wearing today, the sweater he's wearing presently, is in my opinion hideous. I can't believe he's wearing it around Augusta.
I can't either.
The sweater's ugly, but if you go to any like young person store, say Abercrombie, every pair of pants they have is like loose fitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I may never walk into an
Abercrombie.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying, telling you what's in trend.
I mean, I have a 23-year-old kid. Now, he's not fashionable. I mean, he'll wear anything. You know, he's not a fashionable kid. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't have a file on it. I honestly don't.
It's funny in the story on Larry Brown Sports, though, they say that it's looking like Tiger's old pants. Look at that picture.
No, it doesn't.
That was back in the day.
Exactly
that. With the pleats.
In fact, I thought it was a throwback to that era. That's what I thought it was when I saw it. But he keeps wearing it.
You thought it was an homage.
Yeah, I was like, oh, they're just doing an homage to, like, you know, that era whenever it was wearing baggy pants.
I don't have a problem with the pants as much as the sweater he's wearing today.
Look, that sweater
it's so
stinks.
Ugly.
Yeah.
All their designs.
It's terrible.
All Malbon's designs are brutal.
What's it say? It says 313. It's got, what
it's
does
got,
it say below that?
I think it says Malbon, which
just
is
says
the brand
Malbon?
Name. Yeah.
There,
it's pretty terrible.
It's awful. I actually like the, like, kind of tighter fit stuff that the golf guys are wearing.
Right.
I think he's the only guy wearing a bag. Isn't he the only golfer wearing the baggy on tour?
On tour?
Probably.
Pretty much everybody's wearing.
That baggy, probably.
At least fitting. Like Tiger's not going to be wearing that old baggy stuff anymore. He looks
no
so silly.
Yeah, but Drab's kind of right. You said the same thing about like joggers and,
no, it's 100% true.
And skinny jeans.
That's true. I own that, but I don't really wear skinny jeans. I wear fitting jeans. I don't really wear like the Portnoy, like pasted your freaking thighs jeans.
I think the male skinny jean era is going to be one of the most embarrassing things we look back on decades from now.
Could be.
All those chunky guys squeezing into that looking like sausage casing.
It's a bad look.
I don't know why you're not in on
the baggy jeans.
This is, I'm very intrigued by it because it'll hide all your fat rolls.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, when you
I'm trying to get rid of my fat rolls.
I'm team baggy jeans. Always have been, probably always will be.
Like this stuff is perfect for husky gentlemen like myself and cakes. Drab.
Get us all
the last thing. The last thing I want.
Don't let me in with you, fatty.
Hey.
The last thing.
Drab gotten skinny. He got skinny.
The last thing I want is my love handles, my muffin top going. Yeah. You know, squeezing out from my tight golf pants.
We don't need that spilling out.
Yeah.
You need to contain.
And by the way, you would, if you were getting paid by Malvon, you would.
Malbon, yes,
you would
correct.
Wear it.
I would wear
okay,
it.
Okay, but here's the difference, and here's the subtle, here's the nuance.
There's no chance he's wearing that around his house.
Okay, but here's the nuance to it. When Nike stopped doing it and Tiger left and everything, right, he started looking for a new deal. Mm-hmm. Every clothing manufacturer wanted him. He's Jason Day. He picked the most hideous one.
Well, maybe it was the best deal.
They're all going to offer him money.
It was the best deal.
Is he playing with Tiger? Is he part of that threesome or whatever?
Yes.
I have the picture. I'm going to put it up on our Instagram page. It is a pretty hideous sweater. It says Malbo Golf.
Okay.
And I think it says Champions on the bottom.
There's nothing champion about that sweater vest.
I'll get that up. Follow us on Instagram, Sports Junkies Radio, and you can see. Yeah, Tiger's wearing the white pants today.
Tiger looked spectacular. His game
but today, is he wearing the white pants?
He played five holes today, went two over. So
he's gonna. Listen,
he needs a lot of
the
time.
The goal is to make the cut.
Right, of course.
That's it.
But I'm saying, I think it hurt him that he didn't get the round in yesterday. So
well,
he
was
up
clearly
so
dialed yesterday, too. Like, he was dialed in.
I just think it takes a while for him to get prepped for a round or five holes.
And he doesn't practice. And it's very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I get so annoyed.
You are clearly annoyed that he's not practicing enough.
When he was 32 years old.
He probably doesn't even like to play.
How do you practice more than Tiger?
I bet I do.
You probably
I've taken 6,000 shots since October.
To lock us more than Tiger. What do I say? I have no idea what his practice regimen is.
I mean, he probably practices more than me, but he doesn't practice that much. Mm-hmm. He doesn't practice that much. When John said, at 32, that's when he had won his 14th, right, against Rocco Mediate, Torrey Pines. They had the epic playoff, broken leg, all that, and then all hell hit the freaking fire hydrant and the whole
everything. His whole life changed.
He was on pace for like 25 majors.
Uh-huh.
Easy.
Yep.
Easy. When he worked with Hank, and he still was with Hank at that time, he was winning like almost 50% of the time. As great as his career is, it's lost potential.
Speaking of,
his body is so different than it was when he was
32.
It's
because of all of his own stupidity.
I'm just saying, he's had 14 surgeries or something like that.
A lot of it's because he's stupid.
Yeah, well, he almost killed himself.
Yeah.
Speaking of great, UFC 300 is coming up, and it is a great card. We're going to talk to a UFC MMA insider from Sportsnet, Aaron Bronstetter. We'll get into UFC 300 next and give you a chance to win those WWE tickets.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Go anywhere. Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 in the DMV. Right now, as we promised, we'll give you a chance to win some WWE tickets. 10th caller at 800-636-1067 is the number. Hook you up with two tickets to WWE Friday Night SmackDown versus WWE. It's Friday, August 23rd at Capital One Arena. Tickets on sale Friday, April 12th. That's today at 10 a.m. in just minutes. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events, courtesy of Monumental Sports. All right, join us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline to talk some UFC 300 and MMA is MMA reporter for Sportsnet, Aaron Bronstetter. Hey, Aaron.
Oh, hey, am I the 10th caller through?
Yeah. Now, do you want some WWE tickets? Where do you live?
I'm based in Toronto. I
I don't know if I'd be able to make it down.
Yeah, stretch for
you. I appreciate you guys. Thanks. Thanks, Doug, for having me on the show. I might be the most notable guest in Toronto since Rob Ford back in the day, the late Rob Ford.
That's a good question. That's right.
How did you know that?
I mean, anybody who followed the story back then, we of course heard that in the interview that you guys did with the late mayor.
All
so
Drabby.
That's awesome. That's great.
I mean,
that's a big deal, man.
You got to treat us with more respect. I mean, every time we hear these kind of things,
maybe you should treat him with the show. He booked it.
We booked it.
Okay, but we pulled it off.
It was a team effort, and now we're internationally famous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
that was years ago. That was a long time ago.
We were at the Borgata.
I know. That's what I mean. It was a long time ago.
Wow, that's crazy. I remember all those Canadian reporters were calling me.
Yeah.
You know, they were wanting, you know. They're trying to get dirt on him. Yes. Really what they were doing.
So here's the deal, Aaron. I'm pretty much the only guy that's going to be watching UFC 300 amongst the hosts of the show.
This is
but
correct.
I'll bet on it.
I just went to UFC 299 in Miami with my son, which was awesome. And I remember before that, my son saying, this UFC 299 is going to be better than UFC 300. But then over time, the UFC 300 card really got better and better with 12 former champions on the card. Fill us in on kind of the card in general, because it does have a lot of big names.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was there yesterday at the press conference, and they were facing off all the fighters afterwards, and just like fight after fight, like as they started to just face off against each other, and you saw just how much talent there wasn't this card. You just get more and more excited. It's like the card's like rolling downhill and you're like, oh, I can't believe there's another fight after this one. I mean, the very first fight of the night against Davison Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt, two former champions, one of which isn't that far removed from a championship. Davison was the champion last year. And that's what's opening up the card. I mean, it's really an embarrassment of riches on this card, to be honest. Just like you mentioned, so many former champions. I think they said it's like 11% of the champions in UFC history are on this card. It's just an overwhelmingly good card.
And I saw the press conference yesterday. So one of the things that Dana White has always done to provide incentive for action in fights is they have bonuses. And the typical bonus is $50,000 if you're fight of the night, knockout of the night, whatever the heck it is. And it's going to be $300,000. That's legit for a bonus for best fight, right?
I mean, as De La Soul once said, stakes is high. $300,000 bonuses. and the fighters were like, you could see them just licking their lips. And I'm told from our friends over at Bet Online that the amount of money that was coming in on fights not going to a decision started to really pile up after that announcement was made. I mean, I think people are pretty sharp for doing that.
So, Aaron, I don't watch, I don't follow it, but I like to bet because I'm a degenerate.
He likes to profit off of it.
And a buddy of mine, my buddy Brandon, always sends me texts and emails, hey, make sure you look at these fights this weekend. He loves Alex Pereira in a knockout over, is it Jamahal Hill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Jamahal Hill. What do you think about that?
I think if you can find a prop on fight ends by knockout, I don't know what it probably would be in the minus 200 to minus 250 range. I think that's a really safe play. Because that way, either way, whether it's Jamahal or Alex Pereira that scores the knockout, I mean, this is going to be a stand-up affair. I would be surprised if this fight ends by any other way than a knockout. And I find that the price on it wasn't too bad for an outcome that I think is very, very likely.
Plus 135.
Yeah, like that's for Alex to win by KO.
But correct.
I'm talking about if you can find like a prop where which is fight ends in KO.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like in the minus 200, minus 300 range. Like, I think that's a really safe, even though you're putting, there's a lot of juice there. I still think that's almost certainly going to be the outcome of this fight. And over the course of five rounds, two great strikers. But I mean, hey, I think that fight is honestly a coin toss fight. But again, if you're trying to get some value out of it, for Alex Pereira, I mean, the knockout is almost certainly going to be his path to victory. So I like the way that your friend thinks.
I'm curious, is Pereira becoming a crowd favorite? I'm not talking about betting, just in terms of fans, because the one thing I've noticed is kind of being more of a casual UFC fan. I was surprised, like when I went to 299, O'Malley wasn't loved by the fans. I thought that more of the fans were rooting for Cheeto there than O'Malley. Is Pereira on the verge of becoming like a star? Like, obviously, Conor McGregor was, and there have been other guys. I think Adesanya was, maybe still is. Is Pereira getting there?
I think in the bubble, he's a big star. But I think that, well, you know, one of the things about this card, when you look at UFC 100, UFC 200, there was a lot of kind of more wide-reaching appeal for right. those cards. When you look at guys like Brock Lesnar's on the card, you know, John Jones was supposed to be on UFC 200. George St. Pierre was on UFC 100. More of the household names. My colleague RJ Clifford had a good analogy for this one. He said it's kind of like a love letter to fight fans, this particular card. Like, there aren't any names that really grab anybody that's sort of outside the fight bubble. But in terms of just the sheer talent on this card, top to bottom, like, if you were to aggregate it and come up with like an average of just how skilled the fighters on this card are, looking at rankings and all that, like, this has to be the most talent rich card they've put together. But to answer your question about Alex, like, I was in Toronto covering the guy. I live in Toronto, but the card in Toronto in January, when Alex Pereira was there just kind of as a guest fighter and walked into the room, like, he was getting like standing ovations. And this is a guy that doesn't speak any English, at least publicly. And the fans just love him because he's got an entertaining fight style. And when you look back at his career, when all is said and done, I think he's going to have one of the most prolific combat sports careers of anybody. Two division champion in kickboxing, moves over to the UFC, and within like 2.5 years becomes a two division champion in the UFC, like a different combat sports. Really a remarkable story.
He's got a scary look about him too. Gaethje, I think, is a big name. He knocked out Poirier with a kick when they fought recently. Takes on Holloway, who's been a champion. What do you make of that fight?
Well, the beauty of this fight is that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense from a ranking standpoint or a divisional standpoint. Like, Holloway is probably the top contender at featherweight. Gaethje is one of the top contenders at lightweight. Putting them against each other, that there aren't any real stakes from a divisional standpoint, but they've put this BMF championship on the line. And really, I love this fight because this is like a dream fight. You got two of the most consistently exciting fighters really in the history of the promotion when it comes to putting on great fights, and you're putting them together in the cage. If you're a fight fan, this is just an absolute dream matchup.
Last thing, and this isn't UFC 300 related, but we all happened to see Roadhouse with Conor McGregor.
We did.
Not saying it's a good movie, but we saw it.
I was entertained.
If you had to bet right now, do we see him in the octagon this year?
I'd say yes. They could announce that almost imminently. There's been a lot of rumors about him fighting at the end of June, which, I mean, we're talking 2.5 months. So that would be International Fight Week. So I'd be pretty surprised if we did not see Conor McGregor fight in, you know, barring some sort of injury in 2024.
I mean, but isn't it over for him? Doesn't he lose all the time now or no? Am I crazy?
He fights like once every 2 years.
Yeah, and then when he fights, so there are big lost, letdowns. Yeah. It's over,
he
right?
didn't lose many of the fights Probably. In Roadhouse.
The last one.
I mean, he went like 9-0. Besides the last one.
I don't know what your definition of over is. I mean, is his earning potential over? Absolutely not. I mean, and that's kind of what it comes down to in the fight game.
That's all that matters. Okay.
Aaron, man, really appreciate you joining us. It's Aaron Bronstetter, MMA reporter for Sportsnet. Thanks, pal.
All right, Junks. Keep on keeping on. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, of course. We'll have you on again. Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Because we're famous. Of course you're going to come on.
Internationally famous.
We're famous guys. You're going to come on the show.
Internationally known.
Nobody respects us. Nobody.
It's funny, though. You gave Drab a look like, respect me for the Rob Ford thing when he booked it.
Yeah, but we nailed it.
All right. We got to get out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.